Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
This week's edition of Says You. Today, among other things, words of wisdom from our venerable, vulnerable panelists.
If you break out while you're trying to make out, you're going to lose out. I mean, that's very sure. There's no question about it. Believe me, I know.
We have come to Boothbay Harbor on the beautiful rockbound coast of Maine to find solace and inspiration.
What a state. What a state.
All right, try this one.
How are the property taxes here?
And now it's time to play our friendly game with words. And it is a friendly game.
Oh, that's what's not fair.
Well...
And fairness would have what to do with it?
I should know by now.
Fair or unfair, Says You is up next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has spoken in London from a balcony of Ecuador's embassy this morning. Ecuador has granted him asylum as he seeks to avoid extradition to Sweden, where he faces questioning in connection with two sexual assault cases. Addressing supporters on the street in London, Assange called on the U.S. to abandon what he called a witch hunt against WikiLeaks.
The United States must dissolve its FBI investigation. The United States must vow that it will not seek to prosecute our staff or our supporters.
Assange also called for the release of Army Private Bradley Manning, who's being held pending trial on charges of leaking classified information and aiding the enemy. NATO says three international service members have been killed in a bomb attack in eastern Afghanistan. There's no word on the nationalities of the victims. Meanwhile, Pakistani officials say a U.S. drone has fired missiles into Pakistan's tribal areas, the second such strike in just 24 hours. NPR's Lauren Freyer reports seven people were killed in that attack.
Missiles fired from an unmanned U.S. spy plane hit two vehicles in North Waziristan near the Afghan border. That's where the U.S. has been pressuring Pakistani forces to launch an offensive against militants. This is the second such U.S. missile strike in about 24 hours. The first hit a compound nearby. In both attacks, the target is believed to have been followers of a Pakistani warlord whose troops have attacked U.S. and Afghan soldiers on the other side of the border. The U.S. frequently uses drones to fire missiles at militants in Pakistan's tribal areas, but such strikes sometimes kill civilians and are deeply unpopular among locals. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, Islamabad.
Medicare was the topic as Paul Ryan, GOP vice presidential hopeful, campaigned in the Florida community of the Villages Saturday, and he had a special guest, his 78-year-old mother.
We will end the raid of Medicare. We will restore the promise of this program, and we will make sure that this board of bureaucrats will not mess with my mom's health care or your mom's health care.
He charged the Affordable Care Act raids Medicare to pay for health care reform. The president focused on Medicare in New Hampshire.
My plan's already extended the life of Medicare by nearly a decade. Their plan would put Medicare on track to be ended as we know it. It would be an entirely different plan, a plan in which you could not count on health care because it would have to be coming out of your pocket. That's the real difference between our plans on Medicare. That's the choice in this election.
This is NPR News. Thunderstorms and lightning in central Washington state are complicating efforts to battle a large blaze there. Dozens of properties have been destroyed. Dallas County, Texas officials say they hope to resume spraying for mosquitoes today as the region battles an outbreak of West Nile virus. Mosquitoes carry the disease. At least 10 people have died from it in Dallas County. High winds and storms shut down air operations last night. Tensions are rising between China and Japan over a disputed territory in the East China Sea. From Tokyo, John Matthews reports a group of Japanese activists has arrived in the Senkaku Islands after 14 Chinese nationals were arrested there.
Only days ago, Chinese activists landed on the islands and were promptly arrested by the Japanese Coast Guard before being repatriated. Now, authorities say around 10 Japanese activists brandishing their national flag landed without authorization on the small island of Uotsuri in the Senkaku Island archipelago, known to the Chinese as Diaoyu. Both sides claim the islands for their potentially vast natural resources. A United Nations report says a massive gas reserve may lie underneath the islands. Recent confrontations continue to fray relations between the two countries as the decades-long feud escalates. Tokyo's ongoing plan to nationalize the islands is keeping Beijing on edge. For NPR News, I'm John Matthews in Tokyo.
Endurance swimmer Diana Nyad at this hour is attempting to cross the 103 miles of shark-infested water between Havana and the Florida Keys, her two previous attempts last summer crushed by jellyfish stings and asthma. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at GatesFoundation.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, comes from the Booth Bay Opera House and the good folks at Maine Public Broadcasting. On the web at mpbn.net.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scher.
Thank you. Thank you. From the Booth Bay Opera House in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's thrilled to be in Booth Bay, primarily because he found his way here, Tony Khan. See? She's happy for her time on the rock-bound coast and promises that she'll be yar, Lenore Shannon. And he's up from D.C. for the salt air, instead of what he usually smells in Washington, Mr. Murray Horowitz. Who's going to lead today?
Who?
The luscious Lenore.
The yar Lenore.
Will be the captain. To my left, team two. She's happy with her recipes for lobster, but she'd like to develop her muscles. Carolyn Faye Fox. He loves the old houses and landscape, which thankfully he doesn't have to maintain. Arnie Reisman. And she's absolutely nuts about antiques. After all, she married Arnie, Miss Paula Lyons. And who dares to step forward?
Me.
Arnie will be the captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise our listeners to grab a pen and paper. That will help. Let's begin, as is our tradition, whenever we travel about the country, we always stop to take a look at the work of the local legislatures in a round we call silly statutes. Please tell me why you're in a whole passel of trouble around these parts, if you, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
Solicit sales in memorial manors.
You are not allowed to solicit sales at funeral homes?
You're getting there, almost.
Cemeteries.
Cemeteries is right. Well, you know what? 10 points. Very good.
All right.
You are not allowed...
So when you say the market is dead, you mean it.
No special layaway plans.
Yeah.
Oh, keep these going.
It is illegal to place layaway advertisements in cemeteries. How big a problem is this? I'm just curious.
Exactly.
Well, actually,
one of
my favorite epitaphs of all time. There was an old magazine called Vanity Fair in the 1920s. And they once asked celebrities to write their epitaphs. It's where W.C. Fields wrote, "I'd rather be living in Philadelphia." But the great comedian Harry Hirschfeld wrote, "Here lies the body of Harry Hirschfeld, Esquire. If not, please notify M. Shapiro and Sons Undertakers at once."
I like that one. All right. Tony.
Yes.
Why might you be in a whole heap of trouble if you delay December decorative divestment?
What?
If you what?
If you delay December decorative divestment.
Oh. Better change your clothes after Thanksgiving. If you're delay decorative, you better after you finish celebrating Christmas.
Yeah.
Get those lights someplace else.
And you know what? You got till January 14th.
And you
to
got
do
till
it.
January 14th.
That's exactly right.
Okay. It doesn't, Richard, does it say anything about when you can put them up, though?
No, it doesn't.
January 16th,
right,
I think.
Right, you know, there's a loophole for everything. That's just awful. All right, try this one, Arnie. Mm-hmm. Why might you be in trouble if you practice precipitous piper parting?
Precipitous piper parting?
Yes. If you practice precipitous piper parting.
You can't go shooting birds?
No, I will give you the hint that piper actually is capitalized.
Oh, that piper.
Yes.
Can't go breaking up small planes?
No. You practice precipitous piper parting.
As in the Pied Piper?
No, in you're right about the plane.
Plane. Okay, precipitous. You can't go... Say it again.
Why might you be in trouble if you practice precipitous piper parting?
You can't jump out of small planes.
I can't jump out... Yeah, without a permit, or... Yeah, so...
without a plane. Parachute.
Without a parachute. Now you can do anything without a parachute.
You know what? 10 points. It is illegal to step out of an airplane in flight.
Glad to know that. Whoopee.
And what's the fine, I'd like to know?
What is the penalty?
Fuck you.
All right. Well, this is my favorite. I don't think anybody will get it, but let's give it a shot. Lenore, why might you be in trouble if you induce spasmodic distaff laughter with submandible tarot cleansing accoutrements? Would you like that read again?
Yeah.
I was just wondering if maybe I'd understand it better if you read it in French.
Yeah. That was good, too, but not... You know. Why would you be in trouble if you induce spasmodic distaff laughter...
Okay, so you throw up while you're
with
laughing.
...with submandible tarot cleansing accoutrements, and that's P-T-E-R-O, tarot
Don't throw
cleansing.
Up while you're brushing your teeth.
As... good advice as that may be.
You can't tickle a woman with a toothbrush. And I really don't want to take any further.
You can't tickle yourself with a dentist.
No. Murray is very close.
You can't tickle a woman while she's brushing her teeth?
No, it's tarot. Well, you know what? 10 points. I couldn't believe it. Actually, tarot cleansing is probably not as good as it should be, but it is illegal to tickle a woman's chin with a feather duster.
Oh. Do you have the case on which this was based?
Yes. And there's precedent.
And there's precedent. So really, I was wrong, Richard, because it is permissible to tickle a woman under her chin with a toothbrush. With a toothbrush.
It could be.
Yeah, you can do that.
It could be. I'm not sure.
Doesn't say toothbrush here, man.
Any women out there ever been, you know, tickled under the chin?
Well,
with
I wonder, does it have something to do with when they had to keep you awake when you were, if you fell asleep when you were at church services and... They tickled you with the women weren't allowed to tickle the men, but not the women.
No, heaven forbid they should make more interesting sermons.
We're in Maine. I think there's some French maid thing going on here.
You know what? Makes it a lot harder to make a person smile using a vacuum cleaner.
That's true. That's just a miserable experience. That's not good. All right, Paula, try this one. Why is it necessary in this state that aglet affixing must precede urban perambulation.
Okay, so you have to go for a walk in the city before you can do something.
Put on your gloves.
Aglet.
A-G-L-E-T. Aglet affixing must precede urban perambulation.
Tie your shoe.
Okay.
Tie your shoe. You must have your shoes,
tied before
you
can go walking in the city. Yeah. Or in
the
town.
That's the statute. That's exactly right. Shoelaces must be tied when walking down the street, which means that every kid under the age of 9 must have a record this long. You know?
We do crossword puzzles, Richard. Aglet's a pretty common little term. There.
Well, you were lucky, weren't you?
Yeah,
totally.
Try this one, Murray. Why is it necessary in this state that Homarus, am I pronouncing that right? H-O-M-A-R-U-S, Homarus? Homarus? Homarus harvesting requires digital sheathing.
You have to wear gloves when fishing for lobster. Well, you don't. You lobster for fishes. Or
you can't catch a lobster with your bare hands. That's exactly right. May I ask why?
Well, there's a problem. That actually makes sense.
Why?
Because you can get hurt.
Well, if you want to be an idiot, that's your problem.
You want to ride without your seatbelt on, too. Not only that, you could hurt the lobster if you had a hangnail.
That was probably the case that came after the feather duster, I bet. Right?
We got another one here.
I got to get some input from that. Please, somebody from the radio audience, write in. Tell me why you can't catch a... If you're stupid enough to try, why can't you catch a lobster with your bare hands? I don't get it. In the meantime, let's go on to round two, which is played with a little help from Mr. Frank Farrell and the Farrell Cats. It is the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Lenore's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Lenore if she can find the bluffer, or to you, Arnie, if she can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word catillate. C-A-T-I-L-L-A-T-E. Catillate. Gentlemen. Says You rounds out its fall schedule of tapings with newly announced stops in Hartford, Connecticut, and Syracuse, New York. On Friday, October 12th, we're at the University of Hartford for one night only. And then November 16th and 17th, we return to upstate New York for a Mohawk weekend. Tickets, information, and details are available at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. So remember, that's Nashville, Tennessee in September, Hartford and Milwaukee, Wisconsin in October, Syracuse in November, and Boston in December. It's the fall schedule of live performances of Says You. We'll be right back. You can hear Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high quality copies available. That is Frank Farrell and the Farrell Cats. With Mr. Frank Farrell on the fiddle, Doug Protzek on the piano, and Fred White on the guitar. Thanks, guys. Gives us a quick chance to thank our scorekeepers. Please help thank Alec Gustafson and Mr. Benjamin Scherr. Thanks, guys, for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word catalate. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Catalate, to tickle with a feather duster.
No. Under a lobster's chin.
Actually, it's something that cats do and that dogs do, because to catalate is to lick the dishes.
Okay, to lick the dishes.
To lick the dishes. As a cat or a dog is to catalate, you lick the dishes.
Yes, catalation would be the noun.
Yes. The act of...
And you...
At least the cats elated.
You...
All right, well, lick the dishes. That could be it. Arnold, what say you?
Well, apparently it's a library verb that predates the Dewey Decimal System, perhaps was a reason to create it, because it's to compartmentalize nonfiction books by topic rather than by author or by title.
Compartmentalize library books by subject, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That could be it. And it does predate the Dewey Decimal System.
Yes, it must, I would assume.
Okay.
That's when they were minus numbers.
Yes. That was when the library was in Alexandria. Yeah.
By topic.
It was actually known as far as I know.
It was actually known as the Dewey Chaos System.
Yes, right. Yeah. Admiral Dewey, isn't it? Yeah.
And the cookbooks were the Dewey Bechamel System.
You know, you set the standard early as to, you know, you do set the... Paula, what say you to catalate?
Well, I guess if you were a servant girl in some of the finest summer homes here in Boothbay Harbor 100 years ago, you would have had to catalate probably, because it means to count the silver following a dinner party.
Ah. Because Lord knows you can't trust them suckers.
Never know.
So you catalate after the dinner party.
This was before the full body search was invented.
Yes, just before the... Yeah. So to catalate actually means to count the silver after a meal, to compartmentalize in a library by subject, or to lick the dishes.
Oh, God.
It is one of those three, and the choice, Lenore, falls to you.
Well, counting the silver following a dinner party, I think I've heard this before, and I actually think I'm going to go right ahead and say that I feel pretty confident that it's Paula. I say this for a number of reasons. Number one, it's just so wacky that Richard would maybe gravitate toward that. Richard may also have pocketed a spoon or two from my house over the years, and maybe that's what he's referencing.
Perhaps you could shame him into returning it.
Well, then why would I bring it up?
Yeah.
It's also, I think, I'm not sure, but it may be illegal to steal silver in the state of Maine. Just a guess.
But I think it was more than silver. I think it's to count everything to me. I think silver and everything else was, I don't know, though, but that might have been a hallucination of some sort from a long time ago that just came back to me. Compartmentalizing nonfiction books by topic, I mean, what do you think, Tony?
Think?
Yes.
No. But they were sitting next to each other.
Yes.
You notice?
Yeah, I did, yes.
Uh-huh.
Plus they're married.
Both of them are related somehow by topics, so one might have copied the other, you know, cataloging and counting, you know.
I feel like switching at the last minute.
Oh, you
to
do? Oh, so you feel very confident, you said.
Stage confidence.
Oh.
It's not.
So now you're thinking about licking plates.
I don't know, boys.
Well, it is something
you
do.
Let's take a poll.
I had a dog, and we would call it the pre-wash cycle, you know, just before they went into the dishwasher. Now we solved that big argument, like, should you clean the dish before or after, you know, the dishwasher, which always seemed so absurd.
Let's go with lick the dishes.
Shows a lot of character.
I think so.
It's a last-minute change.
Good
I'm probably
you.
Completely
Good for
wrong.
You. I don't care. I don't care.
She changed at the last minute.
The last minute.
Despite
our team name, by the way, is More Guts Than Brains.
Yeah.
The catalate.
At the last minute, Carolyn, she changes over and says the catalate means to lick the dishes. Is that, in fact, what it means?
It means to lick the dishes.
10 points for Lenore's point. Let us go on to round three, a round of word connections. The following lists of words all connect with one other word. I'll read the lists one at a time, and the faster you can tell me the connecting word, the more points you will amass. All right, let's give this one a try.
Do you have an example?
No.
Okay.
For instance, if the word were box, I might lead with bread.
Yeah.
All right, that kind of thing.
Right.
Try this one. Carolyn, what word comes before club? C-L-U-B.
Billy club.
Oh, great guess. No, not a billy. To club add cover.
Soup, supper.
Man cover.
Night cover. Night? Night?
Man club?
No, nightclub, night cover.
Discover, disclub.
No, a word. It has to be a word.
I know.
Not a word.
I know. I'm just making noise here.
Okay.
To club and cover add ends. E-N-D-S.
Bookends.
Book cover, bookends is correct for 6 points. Nice job. Nicely done. Tony, what word comes before book?
No, oh, you're kidding. Okay.
Check,
note. Well, yeah, check, note.
He guessed check and note.
No. Okay. Sorry. To book add time. Word that comes before book and time.
Lunch book, lunchtime, dinner book.
Dinner book, breakfast time.
That was my life.
This is harder than it looks, this category.
Guest book, tea.
Don't say it out loud. Anybody know yet? Okay. Not yet. Oh, one person knows. All right.
Ticket. No.
No.
All right. To book and time add value. Word comes before book. Time and value.
Over. No, there's no overbook.
I don't think
you can overbook a restaurant. You can work overtime, and you can overvalue something, like what I've just said.
Ding, ding, ding.
You know, I have to give it to him. Yeah, I give you that 6 points. Very good. I had something else in mind. Anybody else got a guess? Well, yes, that's what we had. We had face.
Face.
Facebook.
FaceTime
and face value.
Oh, that is. Facebook is one word. That's what's not fair. There.
Well, so is bookend.
And fairness would have what to do with this thing?
I should know by now.
All right, try this one. Arnie, try this one. Word that comes before whale. W-H-A-L-E, whale.
Big.
Big whale.
Wide.
Blue.
Oh, blue is great, but not correct.
Wide.
Is
it
right.
Wide.
Oh, my goodness gracious. He got it.
Right.
That's right.
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 Right. What was the second word?
You didn't get it.
You didn't need turn, angle, wing, or on. You didn't need any of that kind of stuff.
On.
You're right. On. Try this one, Lenore. What word comes before out? O-U-T.
Get.
Oh. Make.
Make.
Break.
I'm almost going to give him 10 points for that.
Lose.
Make out, break out, lose out.
No.
Get
if
out.
If you break out while you're trying to make out, you're going to lose out. I mean, that's very true. No question about it. Believe me, I
Thanks.
Know.
Sing out.
This is a hard one. This is a really hard one.
Wait. Is there a baseball term that ends in out?
Strike out.
Strike out.
No, not strike. To out, add clock.
Clock or clock?
Clock. C-L-O-C-K.
Stop clock. Stop out.
Time. It's time.
Time out.
Time is exactly right. Very good.
Thank you, Murray.
Time out. Time clock, time space, time travel, time card, anything like that. That's good. Very good. Try this one, Paula. Word that comes before mine, M-I-N-E.
Diamond.
Gold.
Oh,
copper.
My goodness. Gold is exactly right. Gold mine, gold dust, gold digger, gold bullion, and gold star. Which leaves Murray with the horribly unfair one, and this is the hardest one of them all, Murray. What word comes before smile?
That whole word is not going to be anywhere in my vocabulary after I'm finished with this
category. Yeah, after this one.
Toothy.
Toothy.
When you hear the other one...
Sick. No.
A sick smile. No, it's not... this is so unfair, this
toothless.
One.
Right.
I'm going to give you points for anything here.
Smile. Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Monstrous.
Smile.
Happy smile.
Half.
To smile, add personality.
Oh. Shining.
Ooh.
Winning.
Yeah. Heard it in the audience fairly loudly.
Did you hear it?
Winning.
I didn't
Did
hear
you
it.
Guys hear it?
Yeah.
No,
winning.
Yeah.
He heard it.
Actually, because Tony said winning right about the same time that you said that. So, you know what?
Believe what you choose to, Richard.
Yeah, we're going to compromise. We're going to give you 5 points, all right? Does that sound fair?
Hey.
All right, that sounds fair. He did say winning right about the same time.
It's
hard
fair
to
if
know.
The audience gets 5 points, too.
Yeah.
Yes, the audience gets 5 points.
Okay.
Very good, you guys. This week's request for a spotlight round comes from Jim Wilson of Boston, Massachusetts. Jim writes, many years ago I attended a taping in Harvard Square, and one of the most fun things was meeting the other people there. I sat next to one who actually helped answer a question. To settle an argument, you ask if there was a piano repair person in the crowd, and there she was, right next to me. Any chance you could find that show? We can, Jim, from season 3. Barry Nolan and Francine Akbar played with us that day in a round of Odd Man Out. Which of the following does not belong in the list? 5 points for the correct answer, 5 more for telling me why. Carolyn, English horn, clarinet, oboe, and bassoon. Let me read those again. English horn, clarinet, oboe, and bassoon.
Okay, English horn is 2 words.
What about clarinet?
I think English horn is a brass instrument, and the other ones have reeds. Is that correct? No, somebody don't do that. Don't shake your head in the audience. It's not fair, and I can't.
That's what I
got. You're barking up the wrong tree.
Oh, how about another hint?
No, but actually, no, you're not that far off.
It's so, you know, it's probably clarinet or oboe, because I always get those two sort of mixed up.
How about clarinet?
How about clarinet?
Why would you say clarinet?
Because the other three all... I'm much more classical.
Oh, I want to take points away. I absolutely want to take points away. Clarinet is right. It is the right answer.
It's more of a soprano sound than the others. That
well,
are
not no, not really. Any help from the other
it's
side?
It's the only instrument my dad has ever played.
It's the only one you can, well, make a sound out of if you're not a musician. I suppose.
You have to know what you're doing to play the other three.
Could be, but I'm gonna try to go to the band to see if they have any idea.
The clarinet is the only single reed.
That is exactly right. Another 10 points for Mr. John McGann in the band. The clarinet is the only single reed instrument. The other three are all double reed.
But we get 5 points, right?
You get 5 points for guessing the clarinet.
Well, no wonder
five
it's single reed.
Sarcasm.
The band once again in third place.
Tony, cat's paw, C-A-T apostrophe S, paw, P-A-W, sheep shank, mm-hmm. Pig's Ear, mm-hmm. and Fisherman's Bend. Let me read the list again. Cat's Paw, Sheepshank, Pig's Ear, and Fisherman's Bend.
We know. We know.
Pig's Ear is the odd man out because all others are things you can do with rope.
That is exactly right. They are all knots. Very good, Tony. A cat's paw, a sheep shank, and a fisherman's bend are all nuts. A pig's ear is a plant that I used to feed my rabbit.
I love
it. Arnie, what's the odd man out? The Hundred Years' War? The 30 Years' War? The 7 Year War? And the 6 Day War?
Wow.
They're obviously getting better at it.
Yeah, right.
The Hundred Years' War, the 30 Years' War, the 7 Year War, and the 6 Day War. And this is a really nasty one.
Oh, just a nasty one. The 100 Year War was, isn't that like within, like between two countries were next to each other? Would that have something to do with it?
And the 100 Years' War didn't last 100 years either.
Don't get picky about that.
Is that the odd man out?
No.
Yes, yeah. It is.
100 Years' War?
The 100 Years' War is the odd man out.
Because it didn't last that long, but...
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
He wins when he doesn't even understand why.
I just hate him. The
30
Years' War...
Yeah, the other ones lasted what they said.
That actually went on for some folks say as long as 120 years.
120
years. Okay, we got our 10 points.
All right. Francine, Feltz, F-E-L-T-S... Forks, F-O-R-K-S, hammers, H-A-M-M-E-R-S, and pins, P-I-N-S. Felts, forks, hammers, and pins.
Forks.
And why would you say forks?
Not a part of the piano.
That's exactly right, 10 points.
Right.
Forks are not part of a piano, the others are.
There is something in a piano called a fork.
What, the guy leaves a tuning fork in there?
Fork, yeah.
Well, from the audience.
Pretty clever.
It would be like a surgeon leaving a sponge behind.
Yeah.
The guy who came to tune it.
Well, I'm a student of piano technology, and they're in
a piano.
We have
a piano. Wait a minute. I run this question. My luck, I get a piano technologist in the audience. What are the odds on this?
Pretty slim, but
higher in Boston.
Yeah, higher in Boston.
So we want to change our answer to a fork is something only a piano technician would know.
Yeah. There are forks in a piano?
Only in uprights.
Oh, only in uprights. Okay.
There you go.
Only in uprights.
Oh, so it's still the odd man.
What does it do?
It holds up one of the rails. It holds up the set rail.
It holds a fork. Holds up the let up rail. Okay. I think we've plumbed the depths of this one. So, thank you very much. What's your name?
Zoe Sherman.
Zoe Sherman. Thank you very much from our audience. That's wonderful. Paula, if you can follow that one. Who's the odd man out? Eli Whitney, Samuel F.B. Morse, mm-hmm. Asher Durand, D-U-R-A-N-D, and Thomas Cole, C-O-L-E. Eli Whitney, Samuel F.B. Morse, Asher Durand, and Thomas Cole.
Could it be Eli Whitney because he wasn't a painter?
Samuel Morse is the inventor of Morse.
I know they're all inventors, but they were painters as well, I think,
right.
Except for
she's
Eli
right.
Whitney.
Really, they were all?
That is exactly right, Carol. Very good. Not only are they all painters, they are all Hudson River School.
Hudson River School, right.
Samuel F.B. Morse, in addition to his telegraphic duties, was quite the artist. Asher Durand, Thomas Cole, and Eli Whitney, of course, is the odd person out. And finally, Barry, Knights Templars, Knights of Malta, Knights of Rhodes,
and Knights of White Sands.
And the Days and Nights of Malachi. and the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem. Let me read those again. The Knights Templars, the Knights of Malta, the Knights of Rhodes, and the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem.
Knights Templar?
Why would you say that?
That is an honorary society associated with royalty, and the others are religious and service organizations.
Well, they all started with a... You're right. Knights Templars is the right answer, but they all started with a religious idea in mind. Does anybody...
Knights Templar is that a conferred?
No.
No.
We'll give you 5 points for knowing it was the Knights Templar. Any help from the other side?
Knights in white satin. Yeah.
No.
Knights
anyone in the audience know?
Knights Templar actually fought?
No. Actually, it is that the Knights of Malta, the Knights of Rhodes, and the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem are all the same thing.
Oh, they are.
Oh. They're all the same group. It's just a question of when they lived where.
Right.
That's our Spotlight Round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at sayu.net. That's SAYSYOU. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's go on to round four, which is Lenore's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff 10 points, Arnie, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word infair. I-N-F-A-R-E, infair. Gentlemen? When is Says You coming to our town? Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at saysyou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back. A quick reminder, Says You stops in Hartford, Connecticut, Friday, October 12th, for one night only at the University of Hartford. And November 16th and 17th, we return to Syracuse, New York, for a little upstate wordplay. Add that to our September shows in Nashville, Tennessee, our October foray to Milwaukee, and our end-of-the-year special in Boston, and you have this year's fall schedule for Says You. Tickets, information, and details are available at saysyou.net. That is the Feral Cats. Thanks so much, guys, for giving us a little time with the word infare. We will go first to Tony Khan.
I had once a very dear Hungarian friend who believed that divorce should be the law of the land. Concept being that you'd have to renew your marriage every 3 years or it would automatically lapse. Turns out that what she called nyolts is actually an infare. It's a divorce decree.
A divorce decree is an infare. You get an infare and...
Right. It's also what I never have when I get on the bus.
That's true.
Especially if it's exact change.
You have the outfare.
No, I have the outfare.
It's a divorce decree, an infare. Or, Lenore, something else.
It is actually the complete opposite of that.
Ooh.
It is a housewarming that when you are recently married, you throw for yourselves, as if the presents that people gave you several months ago weren't enough. Now, please bring us a toaster. Infair, from the word nefarious, evil, too much stuff. Count your silver before they leave.
An evil housewarming?
It's a greedy housewarming that when you're newly married,
you want more stuff.
And so you
throw
an
infare. Is that what we're going
with?
Yes,
deferring to you.
Okay, well then that's what it is, or not, and. Possibly, Murray, you might have the answer.
In truth, in fair, does imply, well, the first syllable, in, implies that there's an out fare as well. And fair, as we all know, is something that you eat. So in fair is anything that makes you throw up, basically, is what I'm saying. No. That's
not true. The out fare would be the yard sale.
But Tony, with his sort of lanyap joke at the end there, is close to it. This is a new word, a modern word, and it's, I guess, a portmanteau word. Within the airlines have that if it's a it's the first part of a round trip, it's the fare that you pay coming in. That's the in fare and the out fare, because sometimes, as you know, it'll be $119 to come into some place and $6,975 to go out.
That's so the infare is the first part of a round trip. First leg of a round trip is the
price,
infare.
Right.
That could be it. It could be that kind of housewarming when you're newlyweds and you just want more. Or it could be a simple divorce decree. It's one of the three.
There is no simple divorce.
Yeah, I would imagine. And the choice, Arnold, is yours.
Well, I like what Paula said. Go take it, Paula.
I thought it was, the opposite of takeout, but apparently it's not.
Eat in.
That's right. When you bring food to the restaurant.
Yeah. In fair.
Not quite.
Which we should have done last night. That's another matter.
Okay.
Well.
So, it could be something as simple as divorce decree.
I don't think so.
You know, I did a lot of travel stories in my time, and I certainly talked a lot about airlines and airline pricing schemes and tickets and all
Sounds
of that.
Like it. Could be.
And I never heard it called the infare and the outfare, so I'm skeptical of that.
In 15 years of doing this program, we never heard of any of these things before.
Well, this is true. So not that that's...
Housewarming.
I think that's just a play on the word, but
yeah,
I just don't know. So you think it's the divorce decree?
No. I thought infare would be a meal at a bed and breakfast.
Well, that's not helpful.
And that's not helpful.
Okay. Just for the sake of sanity and brevity.
Yes.
I'm going with Murray.
You're going with Murray?
Yeah.
Murray, for the sake of sanity and brevity.
Yeah. Not for any other reason.
Arnold has come to you and said that infare is the first part of a round trip. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Infare. Please fake a definition.
Hey, well, very good.
He faked the definition.
Put a listen to your wife.
All right, audience, what do you think? I think the divorce is carrying the day. Tony, they think an infare is a divorce. Is that, in fact, what it is?
As my Hungarian friend said, igen onyu om nekem harum. Please fake a definition.
Yes, it is.
I
Which means that an infare...
A housewarming given by a recently married couple.
Is it infare?
Okay. And once again, the wisdom of crowdsourcing has stared.
Absolutely. One reason to get married repeatedly.
10 points. Oh, you're kidding. Let's close tonight. Aaron Murray of Brunswick, Maine, hears us courtesy the good folks at Maine Public Broadcasting. Yes, sir. Yep. Aaron writes, I thought I'd throw out a round for consideration called Born in Maine. We don't have a lot of celebs coming out of this state, although we're proud of the ones we have. So try to get this from the clues provided. I'll give you a set of three clues and see how long it takes you to get who these famous people are. Carolyn?
Yes.
The first clue, he co-wrote Faithful. Two diehard Boston Red Sox fans chronicle the historic 2004 season.
Stephen King.
Well, that didn't take too long, did it? Wow. That was pretty doggone quick. You didn't need to know his wife is Tabitha.
No,
and his first novel was about a psychic breakdown at a school dance.
And he's a Red Sox nut.
He's a Red Sox nut. I guess that's true. All right, try this one, Tony. Born in 1897 in Skowhegan, took over after her husband's death on the job.
That wouldn't be the... No, the first Maine senator was who was a woman was... She was alive in my life. Well, 1897 isn't that right. It wasn't Margaret Chase Smith, was it?
Boy, Margaret Chase Smith is exactly right. You guys are... I think you guys have been studying up a little bit here.
No, Maine famous people are spectacular.
They truly are.
And unforgotten.
She was the first woman ever to serve in both the House and Senate, and she delivered the Declaration of Conscience speech against Joe McCarthy, which I encourage. It's online. Yeah. Margaret Chase Smith, I encourage you, that's online, that speech. I encourage you to see it if you haven't. All right, Arnold, try this one. He was born February 27th, 1807 in Portland and turned down an initial job offer from Bowdoin University, feeling that $600 a year was disproportionate to the duties required.
Would this be Longfellow?
Sounds good to me. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. We're just running through this one in a... Also produced the first American translation of the Divine Comedy and revered the primeval forest.
Yes.
Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. All right, let's try to make this... Well, this one's not that hard, but we'll see what we can do. Lenore, he was born in 1894 in Cape Elizabeth. His first feature film was Straight Shooting.
1894. Oh, so it'd have to be... Oh, I don't know. Should I just... throw something out there? D.W. Griffith, I don't know. No, he would have been older than that. Straight Shooting.
Maybe Harold Lloyd.
Would Harold Lloyd be older
it
than
was
that?
It was not Harold Lloyd.
No,
we finally got
was too old.
Second guess on this.
Eric von Stroheim.
Yeah. Arnie knows.
Straight Shooting.
No, his first film was Straight Shooting.
Can you give us his second film?
Yeah, no, I can't. He won a record 4 Best Director Oscars.
Oh, 1894. So he's Best Director.
Wait a minute.
Wasn't John Ford?
No.
Yeah, it was.
It was John Ford.
Wow. Yay. Go team.
7 points. 7 points for a second guess on that. It was John Ford, and he also directed Stagecoach, which I'm sure would have given it to you.
What a state.
All right. Try this one,
Paula. How are the property taxes here?
Okay.
Try this one, Paula. Born in Rockland, she used the pseudonym Nancy Boyd for her prose writing.
Hmm.
I'm going to take a stab.
Nancy Boyle. She used that for
Boyd.
Boyd?
Nancy Boyd, B-O-Y-D, for her pseudonym.
Writing. Okay, we're going to take a stab at Edna St. Vincent Millay. Yes.
Wow. Yes. That's a stab.
There you go. That's where you go. And Murray, try this.
James G. Blaine.
Was he born in Maine? Was James G. Blaine born in Maine?
Yes. And he lost to James
tonight.
Garfield.
I may give you some bonus points for that. Try this one. He was born September 8th, 1828, in Brewer, and served as a president of Bowdoin University.
Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you. Out of curiosity, you have the other...
He was like that with James G. Blaine, I would say.
He was like... You all know his great claim to fame?
Yes, he's the hero of Little Round Top.
Little Round Top. He saved the Union. He really did save the Union with his defense of Little Round Top at Gettysburg. It's been a big day for this team. Lenore, 96 points, almost a three-figure day, and certainly enough to carry the day. Congratulations, winners this week.
Thank you.
That is... Boy, that was a good round. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Kathy Sherrill and all the folks here at the Boothbay Opera House. You really gave us a home. Thanks very much for all you did. And special thanks also to Charles Beck and the folks at Maine Public Broadcasting for bringing us back to Maine. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Sher and Philip Salkind are the writers. Noah Cole ably mans the meters. And Zach Moore is our associate producer and webmaster. We leave with the thought that you know you're from Maine if you own more than 6 pairs of gloves, or if you're on the shoulder of the highway with the card hood up and somebody actually stops to help. Thanks, Boothbay, for stopping by. See you next week. Support for Seju in Boothbay Harbor, Maine, comes from the Boothbay Opera House and the good folks at Maine Public Broadcasting. On the web at mpbn.net. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Seju, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
Right at this very moment, you, sitting in your chair right there, could have in your gut little worms.
Very tiny worms.
Right in the belly.
The size of a little hair.
Sitting there.
Incubating, waiting.
Chewing on the inside of your intestine.
Oh my goodness, it can crawl.
Are you really that scared of a little worm?
Parasites.
Parasites?
Are they evil or are they awesome?
Next time on Radiolab.
Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.